Hey, this is Melissa, creator and founder of Femtrepreneur, and you're listening to Fem Radio. Don't forget to subscribe to the Fem Radio podcast wherever podcasts are found so that you can be notified when each episode goes live. Dr. Roberta Hosky is a successful real estate investor, broker, author, and serial entrepreneur. She is a Gateway College Hall of Fame inductee and a recipient of a number of awards, such as the 2014 Minority Business Person of the Year, New Haven Register's 2015 Person of the Year, Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated's 2016 Person of the Year, Elm City Pioneer Award, and the State of Connecticut's African American Affairs Commission Business and Economic Development Award, just to name a few. In 2004, Dr. Hosky left her full-time job in New York City to pursue real estate full-time and started her first real estate business in her basement. Since then, she has created four other companies focused on real estate training, investing, business development, and mindset development. It was an honor to have Dr. Roberta Hosky on Fem Radio for a number of reasons. When speaking to her, it is very apparent that there is nothing she does not truly believe she can be great at. Her mindset is second to none. What I love so much about her is that she embodies the real Femtrepreneur brand. She is a woman who has forged her own path, tossed the negativity to the side, and has worked to help create and pave the way for other women to grow in her industry. I mentioned it a few times on the episode, but I strongly encourage everyone to purchase her book, Poverty Curse Broken, to really understand the magnitude of her rags-to-riches story. It's enough to inspire anyone to achieve what they believe is impossible. I'm going to apologize in advance, as I have in other episodes, for any audio issues that may come up, as this is one of the many Fem Radio episodes I've had to record out of my bedroom. I can only dream of being back in the studio soon, so please bear with me, but stay safe, wear your masks, wash your hands, and enjoy this episode with the powerful
Dr. Roberta Hosky.
Hey, Fem Radio, you have here Melissa Goncalves, your host, and I am joined by Dr. Roberta Hosky. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I am so good, and even better to be talking to you. I'm very excited for this episode.
So am I.
So you have the longest resume, literally like a CVS receipt. And it would take us hours and hours to go through everything. So our listeners, FYI for you guys, I'm going to be mentioning Roberta's book. I'm going to be giving it out as well on our show. If you want all of the information, please, please, please read her book. But we're going to dig into a little bit of the details now. So Roberta, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your title? What do you currently do?
Sure. Dr. Roberta Hosky. I am the president and CEO of Outreach Realty Services, which is a full service real estate brokerage licensed in Connecticut, reciprocity with 11 other states, but I'm in the process of enlarging my territory so that we have Outreach School of Real Estate. And Outreach School of Real Estate is licensed in Connecticut with reciprocity in 11 other states right now as well. And we're building that. Live and Breathe Real Estate. I am also the founder and chieftain of what I call the greatest sisterhood that this world will ever see. And what that is the Millionaire Mindset Sisterhood. And there's a number of things that I am attached to and I do, but those are my main businesses that I am a part of.
Amazing. Amazing. So along with all of those things, right, and we're going to dive into them. I mentioned your book, Poverty Curse Broken, the Roberta Hosky story, which I read start to finish. Honestly, the quickest read, in my opinion. I haven't finished a book in years, and it was so easy. I couldn't put it down. So you discuss being able to build a life for your family, unlike the one that you were born into. And correct. This is so important to me because your goal was to create generational wealth.
Correct.
And can you speak to the struggle and the adversities that you experienced during your upbringing?
Absolutely. And of course, to my title, I'm a new author of the book, Poverty Curse is Broken, which has generated a whole new love and been able to help so many people that I can't even number. But to speak to my upbringing as it relates to poverty, you know, poverty to many generations and to many people is common. I was raised by a broken family. My mother and father at one point were together, but then they ended up getting divorced, ended up having a lot of traumatic relationships, abuse, pregnant at 17, homeless, and just dealt with a lot of poverty things that the average person in many ways would use as an excuse to not push forward or to use it as a reason to fail, an excuse, a reason to fail. But poverty is real. Like 22 of my family members were in the same projects. I mean, when Melissa, when we talk about poverty, I mean, like living in a 700 square foot two bedroom apartment with myself, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my cousin, my aunt, and my other cousin. Wow. And so it's like, you gotta add that. And on top of that, we had these things called water bugs. And for those of you who don't know what water bugs are, that's roaches on steroids.
Wow.
So it, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot.
Wow. Your story was incredibly impactful, obviously, for a number of reasons, right? And reading your book, I could really see and feel such a spiritual side to you. And you kept saying that, you know, you were told you were destined for greatness and that God had a plan for you. And I want you to sort of take us back to the times where you were told that, but you were still in these situations, right? How did you receive that message? And you know, what was your thought process then?
Great question, Melissa. You know, that was one of the turning points, the pivotal points in my life, where I was just removed from my shelter, not removed, but my godparents came and took me home with them. And I was living in a teenage shelter, which was traumatic in itself. You can imagine being in a shelter for teenagers and then being taken in. And my godparents, who I speak to in the book, are pastors. And they spoke into my life when I felt so down, when I felt so worthless, where I felt like I didn't have a purpose, when I felt like, you know, what am I even here for? I felt unloved and you know, you name it, that's how I felt. But those words, destined for greatness, they ricocheted in my spirit. And yes, I definitely have a heavy spiritual side, because I believe that where I am today, it is all destined. And I believe that wherever the listeners are and where you are and what you're doing is all destined, that you're all destined for greatness. But to have someone to speak life to you when you feel like lifeless is just amazing. Someone to see something positive in you when the world, including your mother, who kicked you out at the time, saw nothing but negative. So that right there stuck with me. But it wasn't just one time. And this is where I teach mindset, is that it was said over and over and over and over. See, if a person has one negative thought, so if someone said to you, Melissa, this show won't work, that one negative statement will take a person 20 times to say something positive just to neutralize that one negative thought. And so words truly have power subconsciously. And so subconsciously, I was told a lot of negativity. So subconsciously, I was thinking, you know, negative thoughts. And so when my godparents came and interrupted my sad song of myself, that over and over and over, it really changed my paradigm, that just maybe there is something. Maybe I am destined for greatness. Maybe that all of this catastrophic things that have happened in my life at such a young age, maybe there is some purpose behind it. And sure enough, just like we said in the intro, I own one of my companies has touched over 6,000 properties. But at one point, I was homeless. Like, that in itself is amazing.
Wow. I feel like it's so important to note that you don't, you know, just as you were saying, right, you don't build that mindset by just waking up one day and being like, yeah, you know, I'm great. Like, it takes work. It takes consistent work to fulfill that mindset.
Absolutely. It's reprogramming your mind. It's not so much. And I teach people, it's not so much to learn new things than it is to unlearn bad things. Mm. And I think that that's a process that we have to, one, recognize these thoughts that we have that are keeping us stagnant and keeping us back, keeping us from being the best version of ourselves, is really internal turmoil, the battles in the mind.
Right. You started studying at a community college. Can you tell us about your education, some of the initial jobs you had that really helped sort of build that foundation?
Absolutely. So I got my first job at Yale University, and I got that job sorted in the mail after being as on welfare, getting $417 a month. So that first job was actually an internship with Gateway Community College. So I didn't take my SATs because I was a high school dropout. And I had no other choice but to go to a community college because I had no SATs. And so I went to Gateway, which I now sit on the board of the foundation, handing out scholarships and helping the school at this point. Uh-huh. And I'm in their Hall of Fame as well, Gateway's Hall of Fame at this point. But yeah, I said, so Gateway was the school that truly was a gateway to help me to on a journey of success. That internship allowed me to go to Yale and sort mail. And let me tell you, Melissa, I was the best mail sorter you ever want to see, honey. I was sorting that mail. let me tell you, I knew the names frontwards, backwards, in my sleep, blindfolded. It didn't matter. I mail was getting done, and it was getting done in excellence. You hear me? But it was the reason why it was being done in excellence, because I understood that this was my opportunity. It didn't matter that it was sorting mail. This was an opportunity for me to prosper, and I recognized it. And anytime you have an opportunity to prosper, opportunity to better yourself, a door open that you need to give it your all to walk through it in excellence to get everything that it has for you. And that's exactly what happened there at Yale.
You know what that is? You bring up the perfect point, which is no matter what role you're in, you have to show up. You never know what's going to happen, because that created additional opportunities for you, and it got you noticed by people who were in positions to put you in greater positions.
Absolutely. And even that internship that I talked about, I don't even know which one of my teachers, professors at the time, wrote the recommendation, but somebody recommended me for that opportunity, and it opened doors. I don't even know who he or she was, but they sure enough opened doors. And showing up, they probably understood that I was after something, because I would bring my son Dante to school with me, and I would pack up his lunch and pack up his dinner and bring a blanket and put him on the back of my bicycle. And I had a basket in the front, and I would ride that bicycle, and we will go to school together. And so many of us and many people nowadays have excuses. I don't have a babysitter, or I have to do this and I have to do that. See, when we get rid of the mindset of excuses, then we'll see how great we could really become. And so, I'm sure, see, I wasn't doing that to get the teacher's attention. I was doing that because I was after something greater. Even though I didn't know what it was, I knew that it had to be greater than what I have experienced in my life. And what I knew is that education was going to be a key component. And they saw it. And I'm sure as an adult now, and I'm looking, and if I was a teacher and I saw one of my students coming every day, packing their child up, feeding them, putting them in the corner, giving them little toys, then sit down and still do the work with no excuses, I'll do something for him or her too.
Mm-hmm. And that's a perfect segue, right? Because after the birth of your first son, Dante, you made it really a mission of yours to provide a better life for him. It motivated you in work and life. And you ultimately bought your first home at 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And I would love for you to walk through some of that process, because you were focused, and that really is a lot of the difference, right, between people who do and don't, you know, complete tasks. And I would love for you to walk us through that process.
Absolutely. So everything is tied together. So this is why I always talk about we're on a journey. Everything is tied together. Like, we're on a journey of this thing called life. And so the opportunity at Gateway opened up the door for Yale University, and Yale University opened up the door for the first time home buyer benefit program that I had, that I qualified for, because I was now an employee there. And I was able to purchase my first home, which was a multi-family home, and it was a four-family unit. That house changed my life. House right there, that decision changed my life.
And we're going to dig into, you know, what that actually means and how that changed your life. But I want to take this moment to dive right into real estate. Let's get right into what is the Dr. Roberta Hosky you know, monumental empire here. So right now, a simple Google search is going to tell us that you're a real estate broker, a media personality, you're the founder and CEO of Outreach Realty Servicing and Outreach School of Real Estate. But here at FEM Radio, we don't just gloss over the titles, right? We go a little deeper. So your current career is based on your ability to use real estate and build multiple streams of income. But were you always interested in real estate? Because that is a pretty niche industry.
You know what, Melissa, when I think about it, I have to say absolutely. As a little girl, I always drew houses, loved houses when I was young. And even growing up, as I was on my career, I would always look at real estate magazines. I was always intrigued with houses. I didn't understand the magnitude and wealth that came along with it. But when I got a piece of that, yeah, that's when life changed. So real estate is super powerful.
You did a lot of flipping homes, right? So were you nervous at all to flip homes? Yeah. I mean, construction is a beast, right? So did you have any background in that?
No background at all. And this is why I love what I do. This is why I love coaching people on how to invest in real estate, how to flip properties. In real estate, I love coaching because I did not have a coach. What I learned was trial and error. And in those days, most people who were flipping houses and deep into real estate were older people, older men. No one's going to tell a little 20-year-old what to do. Like, you know, that was unheard of. 20-year-olds, who does that? And so I love real estate. And when I got a piece of that, when I was able to make my first $250,000, it changed everything. Yeah.
You ultimately, you know, just as you said, you ultimately sold the home you bought at 20 a few years later, and you did turn a profit. And how much did you end up making on that sale?
That one, when I do my television, I say $250,000, but actually it was $337,000 to be exact.
Wow.
I made on that first, property. $337,000. So back to your question though, for the first flip, I was a little nervous. Not so much nervous about the flip, more than I was nervous that I never had that amount of money and I didn't want to mess it up.
So
I was more nervous about that. It's like the person who hits the lotto and then you're broke again. And I didn't want to be that person. So the nervousness wasn't about that more than it was like, okay, I have this money. Like this is an opportunity. This is a lifetime, a once in a lifetime possible opportunity. I have to do this right. And, It sounds funny, but it took me a while just to come up with the idea to just do real estate again. Right now, it just is like, well, that's just common sense. But when I was going through it, I was like stressed out. Like I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I got all of this money. I'm going to be broke again. I don't want to be on welfare. I don't want to be homeless. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do with myself? I was stressed out. And then the minute that you... So you're stressed out without money. You're stressed out with money. It's like, what the heck? And so... And so by the time I calmed down and really went into prayer and I was like, God, okay, I believe that I'm destined for greatness. I believe that you have allowed this to happen for me. Show me what to do. And it just came. It was just like, listen, you listen, little girl, like you do exactly what you did to make the money. And it was just so common sense. And so I did it and I did it and the next check was $175,000. And then, and a few months later, I did it again and another check for $140,000. So I was making six-figure checks like every few months. It was insane. And it just took off flipping property. What I found, though, Melissa, is that women, we're truly underrepresented in real estate, especially younger women are underestimated in this type of real estate. Mm-hmm. But I found that I had to pull on that inner city in me to be able to handle those contractors. So when I say all things work together for good, they really do. That roughness had to come out when these guys were not on time. And here you are listening to this little girl like, oh no, you want your money. You need to be here on time. I need you to finish this. This is the agreement. Like that boldness had to come back out. Like, yeah. Okay. I'm still the boss.
Right.
Yeah.
I, were you still, like, at what point did you actually leave your day job? Were you still working at that point, or were you like, no, real estate full time, let's get after it?
Well, no, I did real estate and I was making my salary, like I said, every few months. When I ended up leaving my job, I had already advanced out of Yale and was at Albert Einstein College of Medicine. And at that time, I was making six figures. And so when I was still in my 20s, six figures with a chauffeur, because I was doing grants and contracts and handling $56 million budgets. And so everything was like a snowball effect. But I had the courage to leave my job when I came home and my daughter was walking. I missed her first steps. And that's where it hit me that I'm so focused on the commute back and forth to New York. I lost a lot of time with family, and my grandmother at the time was also diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So with her being diagnosed cancer, she was my babysitter. My daughter started walking without me, and I just felt out of touch. And for me, family's everything. And so I figured that if I'm going to bet on anything, I'm going to bet on myself. And I literally put on spiritual blindfolds and jumped off the cliff and went with my gut to start my first business. So it wasn't just that I hit this lottery with real estate and then just said, I'm leaving, I'm out. It was a lot of personal things that came along with it.
What would you say is sort of the most common misconception about, you know, either real estate or real estate investing?
One that is easy, and you can make a lot of money. You just need to know what you're doing. It still is high risk. You still need to know. So a lot of people are like, oh, I'm gonna get in real estate, I'm gonna make all this money. Well, yeah, it definitely can. It still is the number one producer of self-made millionaires, but you need the strategy. Please get off of HGTV. That's not where it's at. I mean, it's cool to watch on television, but that's like the soap operas. That's not real life. Yeah.
I was actually just about to ask you, how do you feel about all the HGTV shows?
I personally like them. To be honest, I like them because I love media. I love TV. And I was even asked to be on the HGTV show. So I'm not against HGTV, but I think it gives people a false perception of real estate and, you know, how intricate it really is. It makes it seem like it's so simplistic and it's not.
Right. So one thing you mentioned in your book that I thought was really interesting is that you mentioned that you do the opposite of what the government is telling you to do as far as home buying goes, right? So yes. During the recession, they were like, don't buy homes. You bought a home. So.
Absolutely. Like right now.
I was just about to say, right now we're in a very interesting economic state, right?
Yes. A very interesting one. You know, it's unfortunate what's happening in the world today. But if I keep my real estate business hat on, like, this is about to be the gold mine for all investors. And I've already started putting together investment groups. We've already identified properties in Chicago, Detroit, Illinois, Montana, Atlanta, not outside in the skirts of Atlanta. I started identifying property all across the United States of America already. This is a time I'm excited for the real estate industry. And it's unfortunate that it's going to be at the, you know, that some people won't be in positions to move. However, if you would shift the way that you look at this economy, you will start seeing opportunities more than you will see problems as it relates to the economy. There's so many opportunities in the real estate arena, so many opportunities to create wealth and business. It's just a matter of how we're trained to view things and how we look at the world. But yeah, so I already started positioning and creating investment groups and I'm ready to go.
That's awesome. And let's talk about that a little deeper, right? Because you have the Outreach Realty Servicing, which you started, I believe it was 2011. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about this? What do you offer? What is the purpose? What's your mission?
Yeah, Outreach Realty Services is a full service real estate brokerage. What we like to do with Outreach Realty Services is to help people, specifically first-time home buyers and first-time investors, become mortgage ready. And we help them with what it takes to be able to purchase properties. We're also, I have real estate agents that are also on my team under Outreach Realty Services. So a traditional brokerage, we have that. We have real estate agents, we have seminars, we have training for real estate. And that's Outreach Realty Services in a nutshell. A lot of my real estate investing, though, is through my Roberta Hosky brand, which I didn't talk about in the beginning, but is under the Roberta Hosky brand, where I teach investing and put together those groups of investors to create multiple streams of income and generational wealth in real estate investing.
I think it's so incredible how you have been able to not only build this level of success for yourself, but it's sort of, you know, seems to be your goal, right, through all of your businesses, to expand that knowledge to others and educate others. Why is that such an interest of yours?
That is a very good question. I believe only what you do for God is going to last. And I believe that He allowed me to break the poverty curse over my life, not for me to keep the recipe to myself. I believe that He allowed me to break the poverty curse so that I could show others that it can be done, and so that I could be a face of people who thought that it is impossible to become a millionaire or impossible to live the dreams that you think are just dreams, that those dreams can become reality. I believe that I'm the face of no excuses, because if she can do it, then others can do it. And because of that call of feeling like I was destined for greatness, that this is me actually walking in what that destiny was supposed to be. So to really help others see and live their best life, that's what I get so much pleasure out of. I love teaching and not judging, because I was judged, right? I was judged. And so no one took the time to pour into me. I'm sure I would have been further along if someone took the time to mentor me and show me. But I didn't have that. It was trial and error. So I believe that only what you do for God will last. And I want to make the biggest impact. I'm on this quest to see how impactful can I really be. I want to just know what that is. Wow. How many lives can I really change?
Yes, that's so powerful and so beautiful. I'm curious, from the people that you do mentor, right? Is there a common fear or theme that you typically see among them that you're like, oh, yep, this, here we go again, this very, you know, specific thing, let's tackle this?
Yeah, everyone deals with the same exact thing. It doesn't matter what ethnicity you are, doesn't matter what sex you are, it doesn't matter what culture you come from. Everybody deals with the same common denominator, which is fear. Fear is the underlining enemy that we all must slay if we're going to live in the what we believe, what we want to be. So fear, and that's a mindset, is like, and then we also all deal with the way we were raised. So what we must understand is that we're really a conglomerate of other people's thoughts. So what I mean by that is you are a conglomerate of the way you were raised, the way your mother taught you how to do things. When I do seminars, I usually pick people out the crowd and say, and you know, depending on where I am, like when I was in Dominican Republic, I talked about a Dominican dish or a favorite dish. And if I'm in an African-American crowd, I'll say, you know, who taught you how to fry chicken, you know, and they'll always have this whole recipe of a little bit of this and paprika and all this other stuff. And you got to warm up the oil. But then when I dig into it, I said, well, who taught you that? And maybe they'll say, grandma taught me that. Big mama taught me that. Mama taught me that. Well, then is it mama's recipe or is it your recipe? It's really mama pouring into you. So many in that type of thought process still rolls over as it relates to money and creating wealth. So if you were taught, or if you were subconsciously taught, you don't have to literally sit down and teach someone about money. You will learn about money just by the behaviors of your parents. So for example, my mother would look at bills and peek at the envelope through the little slot. Don't open up the mail, but peek at it like it's going to disappear. But subconsciously, that taught avoidance of bills. You see, so it's mindset and how you deal with wealth. And if no one ever taught you, see, I was taught subconsciously that you save for a rainy day. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, oh, you save for your rainy day. Well, my thought process today is if I'm saving for a rainy day, then that rainy day is going to come. Well, I don't want to save for a rainy day, right? I just want the sun to shine all the time. So it's really, really digging back to the way you were trained about money. And with women, I love to teach us because we are so trained subconsciously as it relates to money and men having the money and all that other stuff. So, yeah, I see a lot of common things.
Wow. I feel like that's really such a cool role to be in because you do see so many women walk in, but then you also see them walk out in a very different light, right?
Oh, girl, yes. Let me tell you. I tell them, if you're married, you better tell your husband you're about to be a whole new person and he better not come find me because I'm going to let you loose. You will be fire when I'm done with you. I said, yeah, I'm dead serious. Like, I said, are you ready? And so, and it is so rewarding. It is so amazing to see the transformation of the women and not just women. Believe it or not, most of my coaching clients are young men.
Wow.
Yeah. Most of them are young men.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But with the women, I have fun because we dig in a little bit deeper.
So how can our listeners become involved or sign up for your programs?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I want everyone to get the book. You can get the book on Amazon, or you can also go to connectwithroberta.com. I'm on Instagram, Roberta Hoskey with the blue star. And there's a couple of them out there, but I'm the one with the blue star. A couple of them with my picture too. So,
oh boy, is it so weird? I hate the internet. I really do.
Yeah, it's weird. It is weird. It's weird. So I had to deal with that. But so on Instagram, Roberta Hoskey with the blue star would be great, and Facebook as well.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And I ask the same question to each of our guests. It's, who embodies the word femme to you? And we use that word at Femme Radio to really just describe an all-around trailblazer, someone who really doesn't take crap from anyone, an ally, a mentor for others. So who is that to you?
Oh, I like that question. I kind of go on overload with that question. But I recently just watched this movie and I fell in love all over again with Madam C.J. Walker. She is a fierce woman, woman that was a trailblazer, one of the first millionaires, female millionaires. She didn't take crap from anyone. She unfortunately had two husbands, right? And she ran into so many obstacles. I just love her because she's powerful and she's fierce. She just didn't need anyone for anything. She pulled on herself in the spirit that she had within her to be who she became. So
absolutely.
Yeah, Madam C.J. Walker, I would give it to her.
That's awesome. Any last pieces of advice, like words of wisdom that you want to share with our listeners?
I would like to say that anything is possible. And if you ever doubted it, you're looking at someone who came from absolutely nothing. I mean, nothing, 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 nothing. And if it can happen for me, it can happen for you. And I'm also going to say one of the things that I want to leave with you is that faith always will conquer fear if you let it. The other thing that I want to say is we have to stop letting problems should never stop you from becoming who you are. Problems should never stop you from starting that business. Problems should never stop you from starting that relationship. Problems should never stop you from investing in real estate. Problems should never stop you. Problems should only bring out the creative thinking in you. That's all a problem should ever do, is bring out the creative thinking in you. And the only time a problem will stop you is if you stop thinking. So that's what I'm going to leave with you. You have everything in you to be everything that you desire. And that's what I got.
Dr. Roberta Hoskey, everyone. That was amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa.
Do you know any trailblazing females that you think we should be featuring? Send us an email at femmete@gmail.com. That's femmete@gmail.com. As always, thank you for your support as we strive to promote the growth of diverse women in all industries. #GetFemmed.